This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
This is Ed Murphy, and today I will be reading USA Today Hour 3, which includes the TV listings, obituaries, and the life section of USA Today for Friday, May 3rd, 2024. We'll start with the TV listings. WLWT NBC 5, 7 p.m. is WLT News 5 at 7. 7:30 is Access Hollywood. 8 p.m. is Password, Jimmy Kimmel. 9 p.m. is Dateline NBC. 11 p.m. is WLWT News 5 at 11. And 11:30 is The Tonight Show. WCPO 9, 7 p.m. is WCPO 9 News at 7. 7:30 is FC Cincinnati Weekly. 8 p.m. is Shark Tank. 9 p.m. is 2020. 11 p.m. is WCPO 9 News at 11. And 11:30 is Jimmy Kimmel Live. WKRC CBS, 7 p.m., Channel 12 is Inside Edition. 7:30 is Entertainment Tonight. 8 p.m. is SWAT. 9 p.m. is Fire Country. 10 p.m. is Blue Bloods. 11 p.m. is Local 12 News at 11. 11:30 is The Late Show. Sin CW 12.2, 7 p.m. is Family. 7:30 is Family. 8 p.m. is Penn and Teller Fool Us. 9 p.m. is 100 Days of Indy. 10 p.m. is The National Desk. 11 p.m. is The National Desk. WXIX Fox 19, 7 p.m. is Wheel of Fortune. 7:30 is Jeopardy. 8 p.m. is WWE Friday Night SmackDown. 10 p.m. is Fox 19 Now at 10. 11 p.m. is Fox 19 Now at 11. 11:30 is Friends. WCET PBS 48, 7 p.m. is the PBS News Hour. 8 p.m. is Washington Week. 8:30 is Firing Line with Margaret. 9 p.m. is Jackie Robinson. 11 p.m. is Amanpour and Company. MyNet 64, 7 p.m. is Bang. 7:30 is Young. 8 p.m. is Chicago PD. 9 p.m. is Chicago PD. 10 p.m. is Local 12 News. 10:30 is Bang. 11 p.m. is Young. And 11:30 is Men. NBC 2, 7 p.m. is Inside Edition. 7:30 is Jeopardy. 8 p.m. is Password, Jimmy Kimmel. 9 p.m. is Dateline. 11 p.m. is News. 11:30 is The Tonight Show. CBS Channel 7, 7 p.m. is Wheel. 7:30 is ET. 8 p.m. is SWAT. 9 p.m. is Fire Country. 10 p.m. is Blue Bloods. 11 p.m. is News. And 11:30 is The Late Show. PBS 14, 7 p.m. is DW News. 7:30 is BBC News. 8 p.m. is Father Brown. 9 p.m. is Masterpiece. 10 p.m. is The Tunnel, Vengeance. 11 p.m. is News. 11:30 is DW News. PBS 16, 7 p.m. is The Day. 7:30 is Islands. 8 p.m. is Washington Week. 8:30 is Firing Line. 9 p.m. is Finding Your Roots. 10 p.m. is The Expressway to Dole Hill. 11 p.m. is Frontline. ABC 22, 7 p.m. is Family Feud. 7:30 is Family Feud. 8 p.m. is Shark Tank. 9 p.m. is 2020. 11 p.m. is News. 11:30 is Kimmel. Fox 22.2, 7 p.m. is Bang. 7:30 is Bang. 8 p.m. is WWE Friday Night SmackDown. 10 p.m. is News. 11 p.m. is iCrime. 11:30 is Family. CW 26, 7 p.m. is Young. 7:30 is Young. 8 p.m. is Penn and Teller Fool Us. 9 p.m. is 100 Days to Indy. 10 p.m. is News. 10:30 is 2 News. 11 p.m. is Friends. 11:30 is Friends. ION 42, 7 p.m. is Hawaii 5-0. 8 p.m. Hawaii 5-0. 9 p.m. Hawaii 5-0. 10 p.m. Hawaii 5-0, and 11 p.m. is Hawaii 5-0. PBS 54, 7 p.m. is the PBS News Hour. 8 p.m. is Comment. 8:30 is Washington Week. 9 p.m. is Great Performances. 10 p.m. is Elton John and Bernie. 11 p.m. is BBC News. And 11:30 is Kentucky. Now for today's obituaries for Friday, May the 3rd. Margaret J. Peggy Barkus, 81, Coleraine Township, April 30th, Neidhart Mingus. John Doherty, 79, Green Township, April 24th, B.J. Meyer and Sons Funeral Home. Rose M. Ernst, 93, Cincinnati, Neidhart Mingus. Donna Bacow Hamilton, 75, Alexandria, Kentucky. Elise Lloyd, 88, Ryland Heights, Kentucky, Swindler and Kern Funeral Home, Latonia, Kentucky. William Christopher Madden, 54, Cincinnati, Ohio, April 20th. Marilyn L. Moore, 99, Cincinnati, Ohio, April 27th, T.P. White and Sons Funeral Home. Marilyn Skip Loretta Reed Queen, 93, Cincinnati, Ohio, April 30th, T.P. White and Sons Funeral Home. Sister Tresita Wind, 81, Ohio, April 28th, George H. Roddy and Sons. And now in the life section for USA Today, for Friday, May the 2nd. In making Lifeline and Making Waves, the Cole Brown Simpson. Weeks after O.J. Simpson's death, his ex-wife Nicole Brown Simpson's murder is set to be explored in a new Lifetime documentary. The network has premiered a trailer which features interviews with more than 50 participants, including members of her family. The Life and Murder of Nicole Brown Simpson will air June 1st and 2nd. The one thing I could not protect her from was the monster she was married to, one of Brown Simpson's sisters said in the footage. It's your birthday. If you're celebrating today, you're celebrating with Rachel Ziegler, who's 23, Amy Ryan, who's 56, and Danielle Dayweiler is 42. Now in horoscopes, Aries, March 21st to April 19th. Spearheading a project, Mars' auspicious connection with Pluto gives you the energy needed to see it through successfully. Taurus, April 20th to May 20th. Biding time until a big career reveal? You've got a secret weapon up your sleeve. Gemini, May 21st to June 21st. Pursuing your dreams? Mars' harmonious connection to Pluto provides concentration and a clear head to tackle this visionary venture. Cancer, June 22nd to July 22nd. Taking charge? Embody your personal power. No one else calls the shots in your destiny. Leo, July 23rd to August 22nd. Bonding activities? Doing something outside of your comfort zone deepens a union. Virgo, August 23rd to September 22nd. You make an impression at the office. Challenging tasks are handled with ease. Libra, September 23rd to October 23rd. As Mars and Pluto harmonize, make a move on your crush. They'll be unable to resist your charms. Scorpio, October 24th and November 21st. Doing it for you? You're working to improve your situation in life and work. Sagittarius, November 22nd to December 21st. Strong sex appeal? Your charms captivate your audience. There's a little intimidated, but mostly intrigued. Capricorn, December 22nd to January 19th. Making home improvements, you have hidden resources at your disposal. Aquarius, January 20th to February 18th. Making a pitch, selling yourself as small potatoes as Mars and Pluto harmonize. Others are already on board. Pisces, February 19th to March 20th. Orchestrating a well-thought-out plan, heightened intuition inspires a sound financial investment. And now in streaming, Jerry Seinfeld still is a cereal and toaster pastry killer by Brian Truitt, USA Today. There are no sex scenes in Jerry Seinfeld's directorial debut. There is, however, given the comedian's predilections, some rather sensual enjoyment of breakfast cereal. The new Netflix comedy, Unfrosted, streaming now, is a semi-true, all madcap origin story of Pop-Tarts, another Seinfeld food favorite, especially the brown sugar cinnamon ones, and famously the subject of a joke in his stand-up act. One scene takes place in a cafeteria with a retro-futuristic cereal machine where Seinfeld notches on cornflakes, big spoon in hand, and Frankie Valli's Can't Take My Eyes Off of You plays in the background. If you're doing an eating scene in movies, you never want to eat the food because you're going to do a lot of takes and you're going to get full and you're going to get sick. But I ate that cereal the whole day, says Seinfeld 70, who also co-writes and stars in Unfrosted. I did love it, but by the end, it was a lot. Set in 1963, Unfrosted takes place in the cereal capital of America, Battle Creek, Michigan, and centers on Kellogg's and rival Post trying desperately to get a toaster pastry to market before the other one. Kellogg's employee Bob Cabana, Seinfeld, convinces former co-worker Donna Stankowski, Melissa McCarthy, to leave her NASA science gig and help launch a delicious prototype before the competition in a narrative that features a milk mafia, activist cereal mascots, and a ton of nostalgia. Jason Alexander's George Costanza once jokes in an episode, Seinfeld, that Jerry's existence revolved around Superman and cereal. It's not far off the real Seinfeld. Are you a Superman guy? He asks, Man of Steel poster hanging in his background as he kicks off a video chat with USA Today about Unfrosted. Breakfast matters and what's important for his comedy. Question. The movie parallels the Post-Kellogg's rivalry with a space race. Did you make that connection? Answer. It was in our first meeting that co-writer Andy Robbins said, why don't we tell the story like the right stuff? That's what carried me through the movie, because I was an insane NASA guy and Mercury program guy. I love that stuff. I love cereal, obviously. So that combination of cereal and NASA, I'm in. The only reason I did it was Pop-Tarts and NASA and the 60s, because I was a kid, I wanted to be an adult in that world. The opening features a young boy who meets Bob with a bindle containing a Woody Woodpecker comic book, a baseball card, a G.I. Joe figure, and bazooka gum. Were those your most beloved possessions in 63? The only thing that would have been different would have been the comic. Obviously, it would be a Superman or Batman comic. But we didn't have time for the clearance. Otherwise, that would be what I would run away from home with. Were you a Kellogg's kid or a Post kid? I was Kellogg's, I would say 70% of the time. But there's no cereal I wouldn't try and still wouldn't try. I love them all. What's your favorite now? Oh gosh, it kind of depends on what you're trying to do. I envy people that could turn to alcohol when they have problems, but it never worked for me. Cereal works much better for me if I'm upset about something, or if I want to celebrate something. I go either way with it. Frosted Flakes is just consistently exciting. Unfrosted is quite family-friendly. Was the goal always to make a Pop-Tart movie that has a broad universal appeal? I have three kids. If you have kids, kids love cereal, and they're going to want to watch this, and what a bummer it would be if you put your kid in front of this and there's something in it that makes you uncomfortable as a parent. It would just take all the fun out of it, so no, I could never do that. What's been your secret sauce for staying relevant as a comedian? I would recommend not changing your friends too much as you age. Even more important than that, don't change your neighborhood too much. I live in the same neighborhood in New York where I started at 21 years old. So I feel the same, and all the comedians I started with are still my friends. Have you heard from Kellogg's folks about Unfrosted, or is that a call you don't want to take? I have not spoken directly with them. We did finally show them the movie, and they offered to support us. I think they're going to put our faces on some Pop-Tart boxes in supermarkets, so I guess they have a sense of humor about it. No word from the Post Company. We had kind of a rough go there. I don't know if you noticed, but they had birds nesting in the O of Post on their sign in front of the building. And I think one of the light bulbs may have been out. You can't be gentle in comedy. You have to do what you have to do. And now in streaming, Hacks Star Details Season 3 Favorites. Aaron Jensen, USA Today. Austin, Texas. Dim the house lights. Deborah Vance is back, baby. And thanks to a vulnerable comedy special, she's on top of the world. An elevated position reached while sidestepping the tears and broken dreams of her codependent collaborative year, Ava. Max Hacks returned to center stage with Season 3 Thursday, first two episodes, then two more weekly, nearly 2 years after his sophomore installment. Last year's Hollywood strikes delayed the comedy's new 9-episode jaunt. Last we saw the career-minded comic Deborah Jean Smart and a zillennial writer Ava Hannah Enbender, they relished the success of Deborah's special before the abruptly fired Ava, pushing her to spread her wings amid her newfound fame. Smart enjoys delighting an audience with Deborah's quips, but there's a part of her job the 5-time Emmy winner finds even more delicious. When I got to abuse her in probably my favorite part of the show, Smart says in a jest at a breakfast with her co-star and series creators Jan Stansky, Lucio Anelio, and Paul W. Downs during March's SXSW Festival. Downs, who is married to Ionella, also pays Jimmy Lucchese, Jr., Deborah and Ava's manager. I always thought the best part of the show is that generational butting of heads, she says. In real life, Smart, 72, is kind enough to encourage a reporter to eat her egg white omelet and asparagus before they get cold and to apologize to her makeup artist for not getting nips and tucks. It's like the man can only do so much, she jokes. He's not a miracle worker. Here's what to know about Hacks Season 3, Ava and Deborah's Restrained Reunion. After being separated for a year, Deborah and Ava run into each other at Montreal's Just for Laughs Comedy Festival. Deborah is there to receive an award, and Ava, a writer on Last Week Tonight style show, is appearing on the panel. Ava catches her former boss in an elevator, but it's not the emotional reunion fans of the show might be looking for. Their interaction is at first polite and reserved. They do have these moments when they bare their souls to each other, but after all this time and all this space, I think they're kind of a competition of strength, Enbender 28 says, like who's going to hold out the longest. Deborah is trying to keep it light, obviously. Ava's the more tapped of the two, Enbender says, wanting to have the confrontation, but Ava's also trying not to be thirsty and keep it together. What is Season 3 of Hacks all about? As a result of success in her special, Deborah has more eyes on her than ever, and that's complicated. Anaella says, in some way, that's what she wanted for a really long time, but she's also struggling to still find what makes her truly happy. Is that external validation the thing that makes her whole, or is it something else? Although Ava has a job writing on a prestigious show and a live-in girlfriend who stars in a superhero series, there's something also still missing for her, Ionello says. Starsky teases that Deborah is going after her biggest goal yet, host of a late-night TV talk show. The opportunity is what revives the puny partnership of Deborah and Ava, which bothers Ava's girlfriend. Deborah and Ava are still struggling to figure out how their relationship can exist, or whether it can exist for them, Ionella says. Because it's twisted, it's dark, it's not necessarily fully healthy, yet they both crave it and they can't help it. Hackstar reveals season 3 guest stars. Helen Hunt appears throughout the season as head of the TV network who can fulfill Deborah's dream. J. Smith Cameron's Succession portrays Deborah's estranged sister who had an affair with Deborah's husband. Einbinder, who says she watched AMC's Mad Men 7 times in college, calls Christina Hendricks her favorite guest star this season. Ava and Hendricks' character share a brief, intimate moment in a season 3 trailer. 4 Mad Men prints adorned Einbinder's bedroom in college, including a painting of Don Draper, played by John Hamm. It's actually creepy, Einbinder jokes. It's my favorite TV show besides Hacks, obviously. And Christina is such a powerful, incredible actress. She's so dropped in and so real, has such an incredible presence. Smart enjoyed reuniting with Tony Goldwyn, with whom she can be seen smooching in the season preview. After he appeared in Smart's CBS series Designing Women in 1987. He's a very successful director now, Smart says, and of course we all know he comes from a famous Hollywood family, but he's the most humble, down-to-earth, sweet family man. Einbinder reviews the coconut cake Tom Cruise sends to friends. The premiere features another well-known celebrity, the white chocolate coconut bundt cake that Tom Cruise sends to his famous friends, including Kirsten Dunst and Tom Hanks during the holiday season. Einbinder is more than happy to give a review of the Doane's Bakery confection, a coconut cake featuring chunks of white chocolate iced with cream cheese frosting and topped with shredded coconut. The cake itself is incredible. The icing itself is incredible, Einbinder says. I think it goes a step too far with the white chocolate chips. And while the stars hadn't gotten the cake yet, they hope they wouldn't be Mission Impossible after the premiere. And now on television, 911 set is not just on cruise control, by Patrick Ryan, USA Today. Spoiler alert, the following story contains major details of Season 7, Episode 6 of ABC's 911, which aired on Thursday. Los Angeles. In Thursday's fraught new episode of 911, Maddie and Chimney tied the knot in the most aptly perfect way possible, splayed in a hospital bed. The couple's nuptials were severely delayed after Chimney, Kenneth Cho, a firefighter paramedic, got amnesia and went missing the day before their wedding. Using police reports, traffic cams, and hospital records, dispatcher Maddie, Jennifer Love Hewitt, pieced together that her fiancé contracted viral encephalitis on the job, swelling his brain and potentially fatal consequences. In typical 911 fashion, it's a roller coaster, says Hewitt, traipsing him across a wire-laden soundstage in a billowing wedding dress. They can't just show up at a church and walk down the aisle. That doesn't happen on our show. The episode reflects Maddie and Chimney's love story. 911 has long endeared fans with its outrageous and heart-pounding emergencies, from shark attacks to plane crashes to a sinking cruise ship in a Season 7 premiere, which marks the show's move from Fox to ABC. But walking across the palm tree-lined Fox studio lot on a balmy March morning, the atmosphere couldn't be more serene. Seated between takes, extras in hospital gowns are texting, doing crosswords, and swapping recommendations on kimchi burritos. At the risk of being an L.A. cliche, one Scrubs class man is buried in a screenwriting handbook, jotting notes. The cast is shooting the episode's final scenes with Maddie and Chimney after he is tracked down woozily wandering the streets alone. Now regaining some of his memory, they decide to swap vows in his hospital room, inviting friends and family to watch as the 118 Fire Captain Bobby Peter Krause officiates the informal ceremony. Love could not wait, so we are all here to celebrate that, says Angela Bassett, who plays Field Sergeant Athena, sitting by her hospital bed between takes. We're off that big cruise ship for a minute, so whenever we get days like this, I appreciate it. Throughout the emotional episode, Chimney has flashbacks to the ups and downs of his relationship with Maddie, from confrontations with her violent ex-husband to her surprise pregnancy with a baby girl. It's a pastiche of his entire arc, says Tim Minear, the show's creator. Like Maddie says at the end, we always find our way back to each other. That has been a repeated pattern with them ever since they got together. After the bride and groom say, I do, wedding guests spill out into the hospital halls, chatting as they peck at small plates of white frosted sheet cake. The prop suites receive somewhat sour reviews. I had a little bit. It's fine, Krause says politely. It's from Ralph, Cho adds, of the local supermarket chain, cracking a smile as he spots a publicist nearby. But I'm not going to say it's delicious. 911 creator Buck's gay kiss didn't come out of nowhere. Thursday's episode also includes another milestone for Maddie's brother, Buck, Oliver Stark, a once womanizing firefighter who shared a kiss with pilot Tommy Lou Ferrigno Jr. in a series 100 episode last month. Buck's co-workers excitingly learn about his new relationship at the hospital, where he passionately smooches Tommy after the wedding. It's one of my favorite scenes, Cho says. It's a reveal for most of the characters that Buck has found a love interest in he's actually interested in. It's adorable, it's cute, it's perfect, and the audience is going to love it. Stark likens Buck's journey to a hamster wheel. He's been taking one step forward and two steps back, and it's quite typical of being in your 20s and early 30s, trying to find yourself, the actor explains. As we move into the seventh season, he's found a way to really discover who he wants to be. The romance has been met with some backlash from homophobic viewers, whose hateful comments Stark responded to on Instagram last month. Minear says Buck has been queer-coded since season 2, and his awakening doesn't come out of nowhere. In a 2021 crossover episode with Fox's spinoff series 911 Lodestar, Buck had a suggestive moment with Austin firefighter TK Ronan Rubenstein. TK assumed that Buck was coming on to him, Minear says. The storyline is a thing I've been toying with for a long time, and it just felt like the stars aligned. Bassett reveals the surprising ways life mirrors her character. With 7 seasons of 911 and 4 seasons of Lone Star under his belt, Minear says it's increasingly challenging to come up with new disaster scenarios for emergency responders to tackle. Producers look to real 911 calls for inspiration. There was one night where something fell off an airplane in both shows, Minear recalls with a laugh. In year one, remember thinking, how am I going to sustain this? A bouncy house flies away, a guy gets sucked into an escalator, you're burning through these viral videos ideas at an incredible pace. The current season kicked off with a traumatic high seas honeymoon for Athena and Bobby. Bassett, who received an honorary Oscar this year, says the writers always keep it fresh with situations that are both wild and relatable. Interestingly enough, sometimes Athena's experience mirror my own, says Bassett, who shares 18-year-old twins with her husband, actor Courtney B. Vance. That's true especially this year, with Athena and Bobby being empty nesters and seeing what their dynamic is like when there's calm. This summer, my kids are going off to college, so I'm like, Courtney, what are we going to do? Are we going to travel? Bassett adds, that would be like a vacation to Bali, Norway, or Brazil. Just no cruises, though, please. And now in music, news, and views, Crow and Friends Embrace Human Art in D.C. Event by Melissa Ruggieria, USA Today, Washington. For Sheryl Crow, creating music is steeped in humanity. As the 2024 Creators Leadership Award honoree for this year's Grammys on the Hill event Tuesday, Crow is leading a crusade against artificial intelligence interfering with the creative process, a topic spotlighted at the annual intersection of politics and music. Our brains can't even imagine what is coming because A1 is already outthinking what we can imagine. Our brains can't even imagine what's coming because A1 is already outthinking what we can imagine. Crow, luminous in a cream-colored pantsuit, sat on the red carpet. Along with the technology interferences in music, a topic she sings about in the title track of her latest album, Evolution, A1 concerns Crow as a parent. I have kids in school, and it worries me that the curriculum is based on A1 and we're not raising kids to raise their voice into the fray. We need to create programs, and I'm going to fight for that. The Bipartisan No Fakes Act, which stands for Nature Originals, Foster Art, and Keep Entertainment Safe, proposal introduced by Senators Chris Coons, Democrat of Delaware, Marsha Blackburn, Republican of Tennessee, Amy Klobuchar, Democrat, Minnesota, and Tom Tillis, Republican, North Carolina, was discussed earlier in the day on Capitol Hill and its ramification, as well as the fans' first act to repair elements of live ticketing, were the prime topics of discussion at the Grammys on the Hill Awards. Artists including Laura Daigle, Patti Austin, and The War and Treaty, producers including Mark Ronson and Jimmy Jam, and congressional honorees Klobuchar and Senator John Cornyn, Republican, Texas, were among the 200 members of the Recording Academy, Music Industry, and Congress gathered at the Hamilton in Washington to celebrate and contemplate. Ronson, the guiding producer behind mega artists including Lady Gaga, Adele, and Bruno Mars, said he understood using A1 in the studio as a generative tool to start an idea. But, he said on the red carpet, I'm a little bit of old school person that I still believe that the ideas and things that come from humans and emotions, this is what moves me. I want to embrace A1, but I also want to protect musicians and composers. The wizard who co-wrote and co-produced the Barbie movie theme, I'm Just Ken, laughed when asked if he enjoyed his performance of the Oscar-nominated song with Ryan Gosling at the March Awards. I did have fun. I was terrified until it happened, and then I went, okay, it went good, I can breathe. Among the performances at the Grammys on the Hill Awards, The War and Treaty, the deep connection between spouses Tanya and Michael Trotter Jr., was evident as they perform That's How Love Is Made. Everything in life boils down to human experience, Michael said before uncorking his powerful voice, which swung from falsetto to a mighty boom. Tanya is his ideal soul complement, and the pair earned a standing ovation for their emotional performance. Lauren Daigle, clad in a floppy orange hat and a dress showcasing a kaleidoscope of flowers, Daigle amused the crowd with a story about how she loved a certain Crow song so much that she had to serve detention in school for constantly singing it. With that, she broke into an effervescent cover, Soak Up the Sun, as perky bounce proving irresistible even to a room full of politicos. Sheryl Crow, the 9-time Grammy winner and recent Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee, reiterated her stance against artificial components of music before a 2-song performance with her longtime guitarist Peter Stroud. Music is the energy that moves your body. It does not exist in a computer, Crow said, before sitting on a stool with an acoustic guitar and rolling into Evolution. I did the only thing I know how to do, sit down with a guitar and notepad, she said of writing the song, which resonated with even more clarity in its stripped form. Crow and Stroud ended the night with a spirited rendition of Every Day is a Winding Road, with Stroud's slide guitar ringing through the intimate room. Now a streaming preview. A Man in Full is Barely a Glass Half Empty by Kelly Lauer, columnist USA Today. Don't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a TV show by its A-list pedigree. Don't bet on it. Netflix's new Atlanta mogul miniseries, A Man in Full, certainly looks like it should be the next big thing to take over our binge-watching hours. Created by David E. Kelly and directed partly by Regina King, Man has all the makings of prestige television. Movie stars as lead characters, a literary tome, Tom Wolfe's 1998 novel, as its source material, tropical storytelling, lots of profanity. But looks can be deceiving. Man, now streaming, is that rare disappointment that adds up to less than the sum of its parts. The series is half-formed, a rough draft for something better down the line, and all the fake Southern accents from the likes of Jeff Daniels, Diane Lane, and Lucy Liu can majorly create deeper characters, better scripts, or a fuller world to immerse yourself in. It's the fastest fashion of television. Trendy, pretty, but easily falls apart. Charlie Crocker Daniels is the favorite son of Atlanta, a Georgia Tech football hero turned real estate mogul. He has everything a man of distinction could want. Money, power, a beautiful young second wife, Sarah Jones, and the adoration of high society. Except one of those things is a facade. Crocker's companions are nearly $1 billion in debt, and the bank has come calling. That charge is led by Raymond Peepgrass, Tom Pelfrey, a middle manager whose hatred of Charlie goes beyond professional rivalry, and Harry Zale, Bill Camp, out to beat Charlie in his financial arena. In chaos and about to lose everything, Charlie turns to his chief counsel, Roger White, Amal Amon, a man with a strongly ingrained sense of justice who tries to keep his hands clean amid the dirty dealings in Atlanta. Roger is currently being hounded by his old fraternity brother and incumbent mayor, Wes Jordan, William Jackson Harper, The Good Place, for help digging up dirt on his conservative opponent. And Roger is trying to help Conrad, John Michael Hill, a black man who has been arrested after a racially fraught run-in with law enforcement. Rounding out the already unwieldy story of Martha Crocker Lane, Charlie's ex-wife with plenty of hate for her former spouse, and her best friend Joyce Neiman, Lou, who is trying to keep part of her past a secret amid the politicking in the city's elite. It's a lot, and Kelly and the writers were never clear about who the star of this story really is. Is it Charlie? An Ozymandias-type king doomed to fail under his own hubris? Is it Raymond? The Lego channeling his insecurities into war with a stronger opponent? Is it Roger, a black man torn up on the inside? Or Don Quixote, unsure about the realities of the world? I'm using a lot of high-minded literary references because Man fancies itself as a high-minded work of art. All metaphor, allegory, and foils, the language of Wolfe's novel, but these devices are so weak they blow away in the wind. The series misses the building blocks of good storytelling in pursuit of the cherries on the top of the sundae. The characters aren't nearly deep enough, and it's impossible to discern most of their motivations. That's especially true of Harry, who hates Charlie for no good reason, and Martha, who has no personality that isn't related to her ex-husband. Joyce is a plot device dressed in fashionable high heels, and Charlie's wife, Serena, marks a criminal underuse of Jones, who proved herself deeply skilled in for all mankind. Atlanta is the setting, but it's meant to be more than that. It's meant to be the context of every scene and sentence. It should be as deeply drawn as a fictional world such as Westeros or Middle Earth. But other than Daniel's accent and the racist judge that Conrad faces, man could be set in any major American city, and that's not good enough. Speaking of that accent, Daniel slathers it on his performance like too much gravy on biscuits. He seems to ooze rather than act. He's a cartoon character, which would work if the series was purely a soap opera, but is trying and failing to be more important than a soap. In a moment, you see two horses mating, and in another, a black man is being swallowed whole by a legal system designed to ruin his life. The two halves don't mesh. There's a sense that Netflix is trying to cash in on the lifestyles of the rich and famous Scandin feud from HBO's hit Succession, which ended last year. But man fails to achieve the scope or satire that made Succession so successful. There's a watchable quality you can find in any of Kelly's series, but the sheen wears off quickly. It's not addictive or delicious. And no Little Lies or Ally McBeal drama to keep you wanting more. Charlie can wax poetic about loyalty and goodness and masculinity all he wants, but at a certain point, man becomes too easy to tune out. And at that point, you might as well turn it off, too. And now from USA Today, what to wear in May 2024 based on your zodiac sign. The text first appeared in Review's Style Check newsletter by the first to receive style horoscopes, fit checks, and deals weekly directly into your inbox. May's cosmic forecast features much brighter skies than the tumult of April. We start out the month in the thick of Taurus season, a time for taking a pause and taking stock of the world around you. Taurus is perhaps the most grounded of the earth signs, concerned with practical matters and the joys of the five senses. A new moon on the 7th, lush with supportive energy, offers an opportunity to work on manifestation and plant seeds for your future. Finally, no matter what your sign, mark your calendar for other pockets of pleasant planetary weather on the 18th and 23rd. May's most notable moment, however, is Jupiter's entry into Gemini on the 25th. After spending a year at earthy Tartarus, Jupiter, the planet of expansion and optimism, will move into vivacious Gemini and usher in a big energy shift. You might begin to notice yourself feeling more curious, open-minded, and inclined towards collaboration. Lean into that feeling. With spring in full swing and joyful Jupiter bringing exciting changes, this is a great time to dress yourself up with a little extra cheer. Now's the moment to embrace the warmth of this new season. So what's in store for your sign this month? And check out the fashion picks below. This should be a good birthday season for you, Taurus. With the Sun in Venus, your sign's ruler, bringing energy to your house of self, and Jupiter moving into your house of money, there's a crest of enthusiastic energy that should help propel you forward this month. Move with confidence and don't be shy about putting yourself out there with a bold style statement. As it happens, statement skirts are a hot ticket item this year and make a worthy addition to your wardrobe. We're currently crushing on this Harmony Floral Satin Miniskirt by Alice and Olivia. With a charming floral ombre print and an asymmetrical hem, there's something chic and decidedly Carrie Bradshaw-esque about this piece. May starts out as a more of a quiet month for you, Gemini. The sun is tucked away in one of the most private corners of your chart over the next few weeks, prompting you to dial things back. However, things quickly change pace when the Sun and Jupiter move into your sign at the end of the month and bring you a burst of vitality. Rest now. You'll need energy for an upcoming adventures. As a sign of the twins, you're a natural lover of double-duty looks. Why not splurge on fun loungewear set like a cha-cha linen lounge set by Sleeper. Available in four colorways, the matching top and pants duo easily could be styled and broken up in for countless occasions. You may be a homebody by nature, Cancer, but this month challenges you to step out of your comfort zone. Much of May's action will occur in your house of friendship and community, meaning it's time to go out and mingle. Things will cool down for you as the month draws to a close, so take advantage of this high energy now. Kitten heels have been trending for a while now, and it doesn't look like they'll be out of style anytime soon. And you're setting out on the town this month. The Gallery Sandal by Jeffrey Campbell ticks all the boxes. Cute, comfortable, and done in a fiery entree shade of red. In Leo, this month brings attention to your house of career and visibility, Leo. You're no one's wallflower, and this is a great time to put your best people skills to test. Networking could be beneficial over the next several weeks, and you may experience some movement or recognition in your work and personal life. The awfully draped Fetty Poplin shirt dress by Essential Antwerp offers a trendy and unconventional take on classic workwear motifs. Style it with sharp pumps and a waist-cinching belt for a knockout boardroom look. For you, Virgo, May lights up your house of travel and knowledge. Give your inquisitive nature a workout by diving headfirst into things that pique your curiosity and compel you to explore. Consider carving out time to seek out inspiration in a museum, library, or botanical garden this month. Nothing screams warm weather adventures more than a roomy, woven raffia handbag. The basket's small canvas trim embroidered fall raffia tote by Marnie would make a worthwhile investment, well suited for brunch and beach days. There is a more introverted time of year for you, Libra. The sun is nestled in your house of intimacy and boundaries for much of May, encouraging you to prioritize rest and surround yourself with people and things that bring you calm. Your social battery will begin to pick up starting the 20th, but take it easy for now. Something uplifting you can wear close to the skin, like a fun piece of fashion jewelry. Feels like a perfect thing for you this month. We're fans of multicolored matrix bracelet by Sarkowski, a piece whose vibrant rainbow-colored stones are sure to bring you some joy. May can prove to be an active time for your social life, Scorpio. The planets bring attention to your house of relationships and task you with breaking out of your shell. This is a season for synthesis, collaboration, and even romantic sparks. A night out on the town with either friends or a lover demands a captivating frock. We're big fans of the Callian halter dress by Cult Gia, cut from a dreamy olive green fabric and featuring unique knotted and ruched detailing. Now is the time to get mindful, Sagittarius. Taurus season sees the planet move through your house of health and routines, so this month is a good opportunity to focus on your physical and mental well-being. A tweak to your fitness regimen or some spring cleaning could do you some good. Hit the reset button this month as something simple and active. Like the cafe bike you acquired by Girlfriend Collective, a brand we've tested and loved, made out of a recycled sweat-wicking compression fabric, with a built-in bra, this piece will keep you supported in any activity. Your assignment is to lighten up a bit, Capricorn. As the Sun and Venus bring warmth to your house of creativity and self-expression, dance, dine, play, create, find ways to shake the stress away and bring yourself some well-deserved joy. Alitas Bitar has been one of the hottest accessory brands lately. Known for their bold, playful designs, often made out of hand-carved lucite, their stunning pansy lucite vine collar, available in both pink and silver, strikes the perfect chord between sophistication and whimsy and would make a daring addition to your repertoire. May puts an emphasis on the deepest part of your chart associated with family, home, and your roots. Quality times with your loved ones and in your own private space should be ever enriching this month, Aquarius. Time to recharge is necessary, and you'll be glad you've done so once the planets start spicing things up for you again towards the end of the month. You might be drawn to staying home over the coming weeks, but there's no reason you can't chill in style. A sumptuous silk robe like the kimono sleeve dragon jacquard satin robe by Natoria is just the thing for a cozy night in. With the planets piled up in your house of communication, Pisces, you're the socialite sign this month. Get into the mix of things and let your extroverted side come out to play. Whether it's a leisurely hike, a visit to a farmer's market, or a movie date with friends, aim to be plugged into your community and social circle over the next few weeks. The idea is that you'll be out and about this month, and having a light jacket on hand is always a good idea during this transitional season. The Flora Tapestry Windbreaker by Farm Rio is a charming option for those cooler spring days. This month, the planets spend a lot of time in your house of money and resources, so you'll do well to work on handling practical matters. For a little extra cosmic help, the exalted new moon on the 7th provides some favorable conditions for planting seeds and calling prosperity into your life. Your power to speak good things over your life is important. A good leather pouch is a wardrobe staple and one that you will get plenty of wear out of. Something classic like Isabel Marant's Snake Effect leather pouch will never go out of style. It's big enough to hold all your essentials, and a wristlet strap provides additional ease. Now in health and wellness, there's a disgusting reason you should shower at night, and it's hiding in your bed. I always showered at night. I got this habit early in life. I had evening swim practices and preferred to wash the chlorine away before bed. Plus, I'm a night owl and require about 5 alarms to get out of bed on time. Showering in the morning just takes up too much precious sleep time. But some nights when I go to bed with a sopping wet mop of hair, I wonder if I've been better off with a morning shower. So is there a correct answer to should you shower at night or in the morning? Chandler Coleman, a Consumer Insights investigator for Consumer Safety Org, says, scientists have made the case for both AM and PM showers, as there are advantages and disadvantages to each. While showering in the morning is a good pick-me-up and helps eradicate sleep inertia, night showers are relaxing and calm the body as a bedtime ritual. While the decision might seem rooted in personal preference, it's not that simple. Turns out there's more that should go into decision-making than just relaxing or waking up. You must consider all the germs, bacteria, and sweat between the sheets. Our beds are actually hotbeds for bacteria. Yikes! According to one study, we lose up to 26 gallons of sweat in bed per year, or 1 liter of sweat per day. What's more, the same study found 47 different species of fungi on 10 regularly used pillows. Turns out, pillows are full of dead skin, dust, mites, and droppings, too. Wash your pillows regularly, people. While you can clean your mattress and use pillow protectors, the best way to keep your bed clean is a nighttime shower. One of the benefits of showering at the end of the day is that you rinse toxins, sweat, and bacteria off your body before ever even touching your sheets, says Coleman. However, you risk crawling into bed with soaking wet hair, which poses its own risk. Going to bed with a head of wet hair allows moisture to seep directly into your pillow, creating a perfect environment of unwanted fungi, bacteria, and more, says Coleman. Don't worry, this isn't a catch-22. As long as you dry your hair before bed, it is more hygienic to shower before bed. Showering in the morning puts a pep in your step, say some. Some people can't bear the thought of foregoing a morning shower. Some even say it wakes them up more than coffee. Ellen Wertmer, a board-certified family nurse practitioner at Charlottesville Neurology and Sleep Medicine, says, it's an alleviate sleep inertia that makes us feel groggy in the morning. If that's the case for you, don't fret. Showering in the morning is the best option for folks who don't have time to dry their hair before bed. Going to bed with dry hair prevents damp pillows, and again, wet pillows lead to bacterial growth. So pick a side. Is it better to shower in the morning or at night? While showering at night prevents bringing sweat and grime into your bed, your shower schedule is still a personal choice. There are tons of bacteria living in our beds, according to Amerisleep, but only some of them can actually make you sick. If you're showering in the morning, just be more diligent about regularly cleaning comforters and bedding, washing pillows when necessary, and using a top sheet to keep your duvet clean. Showering at night on top of regular cleaning will make a big difference, and keeping your bed clean is a priority to you. If all this talk of bacteria in your bed has you tempted to add a night shower on top of a morning shower, don't. Dr. Jessica Krant, a board-certified dermatologist with the American Academy of Dermatology, says, on occasion, there may be a reason to shower twice a day, but that should be extremely short showers. Too much water exposure, particularly hot water, can lead to dry skin and hair, especially with people with atopic dermatitis or very dry skin. And this is Ed Murphy signing off for Radio Reading Services of the Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired.